Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio program, broadcasting live from the Catskill Maker Syndicate's Global Weather Modification Silo, bringing spring into full bloom with our salvaged Soviet satellite technology. How is everybody doing tonight?
Wonderful.
All right, Cody.
Yes.
We have a guest to Cody's left is Greg. How you doing? Are returning?
Good. Good to be here.
Nice. To his left is Tom. How are you?
First Thursday of the month.
Well, if you're thirsty, we have drinks ready to go to loosen your tongue and your mind.
I can see those monster cans.
Those be mine. And to my left is Brian, who's hard at work monitoring the.
Hey, Keem, I'm good.
Yay!
We're actually on the air.
Awesome.
Well, the sound engineer is pleased.
Hopefully somebody at the station got my messages. Everything is flowing great. So, does anybody have any stories they've brought with them that they want to bring up?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you asked a question.
Pray tell, yeah. Cody.
Pray tell. There's four of us in this room who have stories of the eclipse.
Okay, we're going to get... Awesome, you go first.
Why do I have to go first?
Because I'm staring at you. Go.
Oh, man.
And you're already talking.
So me and a few family members went out west of Plattsburgh.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, getting my lefts and my rights mixed up there.
You're not looking at the map.
But, it was spectacular. And I saw the one in 2017 with Brian, but this kind of blew it out of the water. Part of the reason, I think, was because there was actually snow on the ground, and I had my telescope. I was showing the guys a picture of my telescope set up.
Very radio-friendly picture of a cool-looking telescope. It looks like a refractor?
Reflector.
Reflector.
It's a basic Newtonian reflector. And I got some nice pictures with a couple of blurry sunspots. But
Those doing good. Did better than mine. I used a cheap welding plate, yeah. And mine came out kind of green.
And I did get some nice pictures of the prominences that appeared during the total solar.
They were eclipse, so
the total,
cool.
The period where the sun was fully obscured. Getting my words mixed up here, my letters. But
it's all good.
It was really dramatic, the transition because of the snow on the ground. The transition between being 5% covered and being, you know, 99.5% covered.
What was the temperature drop for you since you had snow around?
It felt like it went from like 70 degrees in the sun to 55, 60. It was chilly.
It went from warm to chilly.
Yeah, it was dramatic. It was the most impressive one I've seen.
Sounds like it was worth the ride.
Oh, totally. It was totally worth... I wouldn't give up the 10 hours spent on the road for the world.
All right.
Yep.
Greg, I hear you had an interesting experience.
It was great. It was the best one that I'd ever seen out of two. We were at the 2017 one also in Tennessee. This one we almost missed because we had so much trouble organizing an expedition. And we, at the last minute, we thought, well... we'll just drive up to Plattsburgh and take our luck. We'll just park on Lake Champlain somewhere. And then we got all these reports about how the state police were just going to be, you know, blocking all the parks and nobody could stop on roads. And at the last minute, 2 days before the eclipse, I noticed a shape of a lake that we had been to 30 years before, Stillwater Reservoir. I couldn't remember the name of it. And we located a hotel we had stayed at then, called them up, and they said, oh yeah, we just had a cancellation. You're golden.
Nice.
And really great people. Stillwater Hotel right on lake in the Adirondacks, and it was wonderful. We just stretched out on a dock, sandwiches and beer right there.
Perfect.
And it was kind of overcast, and that gave really interesting lighting. So I did a time lapse of the entire eclipse, compressed into about 20 seconds, and you could see the moon's shadow shooting across in just a few seconds. It moves at 4,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But to see it go that fast, it was really dramatic, and the lighting changing, it was really something, and also a really emotionally moving experience.
Yeah.
We were with a bunch of people that we didn't know. It was just my wife, my daughter, and I, and all the hotel guests and various other people. And there were a couple of really annoying people around there. After the eclipse, everybody was friends.
It turns your perception inside out. Or something. It's like that
not
weirdness.
Often we can all like one and all have a group shared experience.
Yeah.
Anymore.
And if something's so strange, you know,
yeah, something
it's
that night. Happens.
It's actually night during the day.
Well, yeah. As was described by one of my friends that obstinately did not want to go, was like, well, I watch it get dark every night, so I don't care.
Wow.
That was Chris.
But that's the thing is, like I was telling beforehand, like, you don't know what it's going to be like until you're there, and you're like, oh, shit. That's just even the most pragmatic person
for like,
will have, like, an edge of a spiritual experience.
For, like, yeah. Right? I mean, I'm the opposite of a spiritual person, so all I did was stand there for 3 minutes going, wow.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
just slowing down my brain, absorbing every frame, and just trying to save it. Like, wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I am the camera. Click.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You were saying, though?
I'm a photographer, so I've got, you know, all my cameras and stuff, but I made a point of not taking any pictures. I just put the video on remote. And
nice.
I just, you know, wondered if the whole world could just experience that for 3 minutes, maybe we could take a break from all the wars and stupidity.
All our own human-generated garbage.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Tom, what'd you do for the eclipse?
Well, they call it a once in a lifetime experience, and for me, it's 79 years of age. And yeah, if I wait another 79 years, I'll do it twice. But the interesting thing for me was this communal spiritual experience. I had driven north of Plattsburgh. I could see blue sky in front of me, and I saw the clouds behind me, and I just drove until it was 10 minutes before totality, and I just timed it out well so that I was at a rest stop that they have on 87 going toward Canada, and I had pretty much cleared the clouds. They were cirrus, but they didn't interfere with the visual part of it, so I got to see various effects like Bailey's beads and things like that. The colors were there, and I had a pretty clear totality experience. But the spiritual side of it was kind of interesting. Since I'd driven past the point where most people pulled off, there weren't many people in this rest stop. It was sparsely populated. And I pulled into a wide open area in the parking lot, got out, and walked a little further north, and there was this Amish couple, young, handsome, in their Sunday best. They experienced it, and I experienced it at the same moment. And after it was over, I said to them, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I had a feeling that for them, and they'd driven all the way from Pennsylvania, which is a long trip by horse and buggy. No, actually, they took a car, but It was a little car, almost a horse and buggy, it seemed, when they drove away.
Maybe you mistook them for Mennonite?
Yeah, they might have been Mennonites. I didn't ask what the denomination was, but the dress code that they were conforming to was such that they were from the 19th century, and they were having, since they were a young couple, I would have thought, just freshly married, that this was a milestone for them in their relationship, and we didn't want to talk. I think it was something that was telepathic and between them, most certainly, and between myself and this couple. So, yeah, it's, as I say, once in a lifetime, since I hadn't seen a totality before, a partial once before, but when it came right over Ankrumdale, I couldn't avoid it. But in this case, you know, I did have the visual part of it. And like Greg, I'm a photographer, and I have a background in art and also an interest in astronomy. And there was an astronomer there. He identified himself as from Orange County. I guess that's in New Jersey. And he had a rig and was kept quite busy with his filters and getting better pictures. And I figured that, that if I wanted to see what it looked like through a telescope, I wouldn't have to look any further than the internet.
And the internet.
Right.
Many, many streams.
So from an astronomical point of view, I was very interested in eclipses since I've designed telescopes that are coronagraphs. That's a big problem when you're trying to find planets on stars that are far away. I mean, the sun isn't terrifically hard to eclipse synthetically using filters that were invented 70 years ago. But it's much harder if you're looking at something as tiny as a star, which is like 5 milliarc seconds in diameter.
So did you use one of those during the eclipse?
No, you make an eclipse is what you do.
Oh.
And then you can look at any star at any time.
So what you're talking about right now is everything but the eclipse.
Gotta love you, Tom. Gotta love you. You always bring it back to something.
It was a spiritual experience down to, on Earth, and it's one to extend forever if you have a telescope capable of eclipsing any star.
Or a spacecraft to fly in the shadow like at all times.
I like your perspective on the people that were there.
Oh, yeah. In fact, as I hopped out of the car and walked towards this couple, I noticed that the young woman had bright red hair. And I said, is this Ginger Corner? And I got a toothy grin, and I knew I was among my people.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What'd you do during the eclipse?
I was zonked out. I missed your message at about 2 a.m. that you're like, I'm ready to go now. Like, what just happened? No, I was gone, dude. It's the first eclipse that I've missed. Hmm. That I had access to. In fact, it was the closest eclipse that has happened to me. The first one I did in 92, I rode a motorcycle for 3 days, an enduro from LA to La Paz, Mexico, with some friends. One dude, we called him Mormon Dan. I won't say anything else about him because he's spent the last 30 years working for a certain agency and things. Anyway, so we rode down there, and as we went down to Mexico, day after day, going down on these broken roads through Baja California, other bikes were joining us until when we got to the zone right before La Paz, there was like 5 or 6 of us. And we're like, hey, it's going to happen now that we pulled over. And I've described this before in the show how what happened, that amazing upside down universe of wind and things that were changing. We're like, oh, wow. And the next time I went was 7 years ago with Cody down to Kentucky, was it?
Yep, we made it to Kentucky.
We drove all the way out there.
Some random church.
Hours.
Some random church in the hills of Kentucky.
Random family graveyard. With the only other people there was that family who had their graves for 100 years.
Yep.
That were walking around.
And the dude who talked like Boomhauer.
Yeah, there was Boomhauer, that's right. They gave us some glasses. I missed this one. I was zonked out. It was the closest. It was literally the only non-Odyssey trip that I would have just been like, oh, yeah, 4 hours out or whatever.
Honestly,
I was gone.
Would you have taken the North Way?
I would have gone up to the east side.
You would have followed me.
the east side. Oh yeah,
so east side of Lake Champlain.
And my route was TBD until the last.
That would have been like follow the maps. Where it looks greener and not red on the Google map and make your way to the zones.
Yeah, I just I knew the clouds were coming from the west, so I just headed east and I took all the main roads where they branched off. Everybody else went. I didn't go.
Yeah.
And that's why I only drove for like 3 hours each way.
I basically missed it. I've seen eclipses before, but I missed this one.
Vermont. Yep.
Despite it having been so dang close.
Nobody thought, like you said, nobody thought Burlington was going to get it. And it was in totality, like
no, it was, yeah. Right, but Burlington is where you should and it be was, looking at the weather for 2 days before. It's like that's the spot.
Well, for two days before, I was thinking directly north, like North Hudson or something like that in New York.
Yeah,
but then at the last minute, I'm like, okay, the farther east you go, the better your chances. So.
And not just the weather, but also because it had the smaller highways and less traveled.
Yeah, it was just a beautiful long country road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we tried really hard to get to that La Paz one.
Mm.
And if I recall, it was like
1992.
Wasn't it like 7 minutes long?
It couldn't be that long.
I don't know. It was
so hard, but we couldn't get a flight. You know, all the flights were booked. We couldn't, you know, if we got a flight to someplace near there, we couldn't get a car, whatever.
Oh, it was like a 2,000-mile ride or whatever it is. I don't know. It was a long ride. We're like, how far is it? Oh, how many days is it going to take us?
But you're pretty much guaranteed good weather. And the longest eclipse.
It was impressive. Yeah.
7 minutes should be the upper limit of the possibility of an eclipse.
Yeah. I don't know how long it was, but it was it was intense.
Joe, you haven't gone yet.
Yeah, so I went out to Vermont and I was just chasing the sky and running away from the people.
Yeah.
And I didn't hit heavy traffic until
the way back.
No.
Oh.
Until I was like 5-6 miles south of Burlington.
Oh, wow. And then it thickened up.
I was already a nice 10 minutes inside totality by my calculation. So as soon as I hit rough traffic, I calculated a couple of spots I could stop, like a couple of graveyards and places like that. And then I just made a left, which means I'm breaking away from all the main traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I can go explore, circle back, and then head back the way I came without any traffic. And I wound up finding a fishing hole on the way out to, I think it's Lake George over there.
Lake George.
Or one of the lakes up there.
Champlain.
Why not? But basically me and like, I don't know.